1972, in the unlikely location of Pender Harbor, British Columbia, the first edition of Raincoast Chronicles was published with the intent and purpose of putting British Columbia character on the record. 33 years later, Raincoast Chronicles 4-5 has just been published, and I'm joined by its editor, Howard White. We'll talk about the popular journal in this fourth bound edition. Howard White is the owner and publisher of Harbor Publishing, which publishes Raincoast Chronicles, 4295 Canadian. Please welcome to the commentary.ca, Howard White. Good morning, Mr. White.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for joining us. Now, for those who probably don't know what the Raincoast Chronicles are, that's a pamphlet that comes out how often?
Well, I wouldn't call it a pamphlet. It's a series of books, and we originally started off in 1972 thinking it was a journal, although it always was, more book-like than magazine-like, and it always had a square spine like a book. But we do the individual editions in paperback first, and they're usually around 100 pages long, 80 to 100 pages long, and then when we have five of those, we bind them together in a hardcover book. We first did that in 1976 and called the bound edition Raincoast Chronicles First Five because it contained the first five issues. And this one now is called Raincoast Chronicles 4-5 because it's the fourth collection. And so if you're good at arithmetic, you can figure out we've done 20 individual books in the series altogether. And they're all bound in collections now. The first five was followed by Raincoast Chronicles 6-10, and then Raincoast Chronicles 11 up, which was 11-15, and Raincoast Chronicles 4-5 contains the individual journals numbers 16-20.
On their own, they are very popular. They're on the bestseller lists every time they come out, aren't they?
This last one, we always worry that all the old timers will eventually all die, and we'll have no customers. But it doesn't seem to be happening. This last one, number 20, which was a single theme issue on Frontier Women of British Columbia, written by Stephen Hume. It went through three printings, so it sold as well as any one we've done over the 30 years. So they are enduringly popular.
And these bound volumes, the first one in 1976 and this latest one, they're very popular as well.
Possibly the most popular book ever published in BC. The Raincoast Chronicles First Five is now in something like I haven't looked lately, but it's 15th or 16th printing, something like that. It's closing in on 100,000 copies in print, which considering that those books were all sold right here in BC, hardly any have ever sold in Ontario. They're not interested in our stories out there. Which makes it, a publishing phenomenon, not just in British Columbia terms, but in Canadian terms. There's very few books in the history of Canadian publishing have sold more than that.
You write somewhere in the book that in 1972 that you hadn't expected this to be such a the phenomenon that it is. You write that it struck a chord.
Yeah, I think it did in 1972. That was the era of the Back to the Land movement and the turning back to rural roots, and that's what we were offering, and we did it in the style of the times with the off-white pages and sepia ink and vines going down the side of the pages, so it sort of looked like the Whole Earth catalog, and it immediately caught on. But the surprising thing is that it's never let go. It's still extremely popular today, and I think it's because BC people feel that it speaks to them about their own stories in their own language. We've had writers come in from New York or Toronto and write about us from external points of view before. But Raincoast Chronicles was one of the first places people were able to look and see a reflection of their own lives the way they see it themselves. And I think that's what's distinguished it.
You've also written in the introduction that no single item, and there are essays, there's poetry, there's photographs in the books, no single item captures the West Coast character by itself, but taken together, they make as full a picture as you'll find. Do you think... I guess it's not surprising that British Columbians want to look at themselves, want to learn about themselves, want to read about themselves. Why do you think it is that Raincoast Chronicles itself has been so popular and has filled that need so well?
Well, I think it's because of that approach that we took. You know, people are always trying to sum up what it is to be West Coast or British Columbian. You know, they're inventing silly little phrases like the Lotus Land or that kind of thing, you know. And I don't know, Lotus Land never struck any kind of a chord with me. But what we did was we started looking around and describing things that go on here. We described the life of the early settlers in Gastown and Granville before it became Vancouver. And when it was just another little coastal town like Pender Harbor, where I live today, and suddenly exploded into world stature when the railway came through, and we describe what it's like to be out on a little fish boat bouncing around in a big blow. Off Cape Mudge, and we describe what it's like to be working in the woods, which most of our fathers and grandfathers did here to carve a place and lay the foundations of BC society today. So everybody has an old guy like that in their family and is used to hearing them talk about the bad old days, and suddenly here's a publication where that kind of storytelling finds a home. And so there's a million facets to BC society. We paid BC the respect of realizing that it was complex and that society here had developed roots and couldn't be summed up in a silly phrase like Lotus Land. And I think that's what struck a chord with people.
We're talking with Harbor Publishing's Howard White. He's just edited Raincoast Chronicles 4-5, the fourth bound volume of the Raincoast Chronicles publications, $42.95 Canadian. The term Raincoast, you came up with that, or who came up with that?
Yeah, we coined that phrase. We were the first people to put it in print. We were sitting around about to send the first issue off to the printers, and realized that we didn't have a title for the overall publication. And somebody said, well, you know, this is the Sunshine Coast. Everything up here is called Sun Coast this, Sun Coast that. Let's call it Sun Coast, the Sun Coast Magazine or Sun Coast Chronicles. And I said, I hate that term. That's just a lie that was thought up by the tourist bureau to fool people into coming up here and thinking they weren't in a rainforest. And so somebody said, okay, well, let's call it Rainforest Chronicles. And we tweaked that a bit and came up with Raincoast Chronicles, which I noticed you had a bit of trouble pronouncing, and a lot of people have over the years. They always want to call it Raincoast Chronicles. But that's the only flaw in it. It's been a good name, and of course, now if you look in your local phone book, you'll find Raincoast Puppet Theaters and Raincoast Outfitters and Raincoast everything, and including one other, Raincoast Publishing, which is the people that do Harry Potter. Potter is a completely separate operation, but they were our distributor at one time, so they were so taken with the Raincoast ambience that they decided to name their operation after us. And so we, you know, it's kind of an honor to have entered a word into the BC lexicon.
Is that how Harbor Publishing came about, because of the Raincoast Chronicles project?
Yeah, that was how we started. In 1970, we were running a little weekly newspaper here in Fender Harbor. Then in 1972, we put out the first issue of Raincoast Chronicles. And then 2 years later, we coined the name Harbor Publishing, after Fender Harbor, and started spinning off a lot of the stories that we were covering in Raincoast Chronicles into standalone books. You know, we had in Volume 2, we had an article on lighthouses of the West Coast, and that proved such a rich piece of history that we subsequently did two whole books just on elaborating on that theme. And a lot of our books, Harbor has now done over 400 individual books, and a lot of them spun off from articles that we first broached in the magazine.
Now, as an editor, it must be, I guess, difficult to choose what's to be included and just the subject matter and the sort and sorting through that. But it must also be quite fun to do. And talk to me about working with some of the writers, because there are some first-rate authors in all of the essays and all of the editions that are in this fourth five edition.
Yeah, over the years, we've published a lot of BC's best-known authors, you know, people like Earl Burney and George Woodcock and Dorothy Livesey and Al Purdy and Patrick Lane and people like that. But, you know, and it's been great dealing with them and giving them a place to publish their more kind of locally tuned regional writings. But the majority of the people in Raincoast Chronicles are not professional writers. They're old hoggers. Hogger was the nickname for the engineers who used to run the locomotives that hauled logs in the logging railways. So we found a very articulate old hogger named Waddy Weeks in the Cowichan area, got him to tell us about the life of the railroad engineer, and so on. Our authors, so-called, have been really not writers, but people who had stories to tell, and we developed a pretty good skill at getting those stories down. Another one was Jim Spilsbury. He was a guy who was the son of English remittance people. He'd grown up in a they were poor and they didn't have a place to live, so they squatted on the beach at Savory Island, and they lived in a tent for Jim's first 10 years, and he only had a grade 4 education, but he was just a non-stop entrepreneur, and he at first started a radio business. He was a radio pioneer and eventually developed into one of Canada's leading exporters of radio telephone equipment, and then he started an airline called Queen Charlotte Airlines, which eventually merged with PWA, and was a all-around a Renaissance man. He was a very good painter and an unparalleled storyteller. So we started copying down his stories of his adventures in Raincoast Chronicles, and eventually spun that off into a series of books, Spilsbury's Coast, The Accidental Airline, and Spilsbury's Album, and so far. and those have been among our most popular publications and our most popular stories in Raincoast Chronicles, just these old-timers who have great stories. Never expected to be in print, but through the offices of Rain Coast Chronicles did end up in print, and we're quite delighted by the experience.
There's also a piece there about donkey broiler coffee, which
I found
quite interesting.
Yeah, well, that was written by Arthur Mays, who wrote it as if he was an old logger, but really Arthur Mays was a career journalist who published several novels, one of which was made into a movie, and wrote for about a million years for the Victoria Times columnist. And he was reminiscing there about a summer that he spent as a kid when he was out working in the woods on Vancouver Island, and was just fondly remembering how they used to break for lunch, and the operator of the steam donkey had a unique way of making coffee using superheated steam from the donkey boiler to boil the water, and in spite of Starbucks and everything, Arthur Mays claims that to this day he's never tasted such good coffee.
Despite the piece of bark or twig that would fall in, right?
Right.
When does Rain Coast Chronicles 21 come out?
Well, we're working on it. Anybody out there who has a good story to send in, they should do so. This is usually how it happens when we put out, we have a certain number of classic pieces sitting on the shelf, but it's when we put out a new edition like the 4th 5, which has just come out, that people are inspired to contribute some of their own stories. They say, well, that's not bad, but I got a way better story here, and often they do. And so we're expecting a flood of new material to come in over the transom any day, and that will no doubt find its way into Rain Coast 21, which we expect to have out in the coming year.
33 years later, after the first edition, do you think you could possibly define what being British Columbian means, or what British Columbia is? Could one go to the 4 volumes and sort of get an idea, get a sense of what being a BC-er means?
Yeah, that's really what I would, that would be my answer. I would say it's not, you can't sum it up in one phrase like Lotus Eaters or something like that. Only outsiders would be foolish enough to try that. But we now at least do have these 4 volumes which cover every facet of life here on the coast, and in there is the full picture of what it is to be British Columbia.
And it's a really interesting book to read, and you don't have to read it from cover to cover. You can just set it aside and pick an essay or two to read a night, and there's great photographs in it, and it really is. It's charming pieces, and it's absolutely just a great book to read. And if you want to know more about BC, or you know a little bit already, you'll learn a lot more. So, compliments on a fine book, Howard.
Thank you very much.
The book is called Rain Coast Chronicles 4th 5, edited by Howard White, published by Harbor, $42.95 Canadian. For thecommentary.ca, I'm Joseph Lunham.